Good morning and welcome. I invite you to join in singing our opening hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Lord, open our lips
and our mouths
proclaim your name.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Alleluia. I invite you to join me in saying the Jubilate found on page 82 in the Book of Common Prayer or on your handout. Be joyful in the Lord, all your lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with a song. Know this, the Lord himself is God. He himself has made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and call upon his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures from age to age.
We will say Psalm 105 responsively, found on page 738 in the Book of Common Prayer or on your handout. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name.
May his deeds be marvelous.
Sing to him, sing praises to him.
And speak of all his marvelous works.
Glory in his holy name.
Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Search for the Lord and his strength.
Continually seek his face.
Remember the marvels he has done.
His wonders and the judgment of his mouth.
O offspring of Abraham, his servant.
O children of Jacob, his chosen.
Then he called for a famine in the land.
And destroyed the supply of bread.
He sent a man before them.
Joseph, who was sold as a slave.
They bruised his feet in fetters.
His neck they put in an iron collar.
Until his prediction came to pass.
The word of the Lord tested him.
King sent and released him.
The rulers of the people set him free.
He set him as a master over his household.
As a ruler over all his possessions.
To instruct his princes according to his will.
And to teach his elders wisdom.
Hallelujah. The first reading is taken from the book of Genesis 37. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flocks with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. His father's wives and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his children because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now. See if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring back word to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." The man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Then they saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes the dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what becomes of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore. And they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us say together Canticle 21, found in the Book of Common Prayer on page 95 or in your handout. You are God. Praise you.
You are the Lord.
You are the eternal Father. All creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble
A second reading from Romans 10. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, bring Christ down, or who will ascend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to mute as we sing together Jerusalem in hymnal number 620.
Thank you.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of them to the other side where they dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When the evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the wind, by the waves, was far from the land. The wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking again, charged them on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, it is you, command me to come out of the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking in the water, and came toward Jesus. When he noticed a strong wind, he became frightened and was beginning to sink. He cried out, "Save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You have a little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got him into the boat, they were in the sea, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I used to think that I was a really fearful child, but reflecting back on it, I'm not sure that that's exactly right. Yes, I feared my father's anger. I feared making mistakes and having people laugh at me. I feared mice and snakes and bats. But I'm not sure any of those are really gut-wrenching fear. I think it's more a worrier. A couple of years ago, I asked you all to write down your fears on an index card and to put it in the offering plate. And what I remember about that was the majority of fears, true fears, were about family members and how family members were doing. But I also know that at the same time, there are instances that we have experienced gut-wrenching fear. I think about when the deer runs in front of you and you know there's no way to avoid it. Or when you're driving on a snowy road and maybe taking the curve a little too fast and then realize you're on black ice. Or when you get the call at 2:00 in the morning. Or when you enter into battle, whatever that battle may be. That's true fear. But of course, most of the time, we spend our time worrying. There are Today's story about Jesus stilling the storm and Peter walking on water is one of our favorite stories. We know the story very well, and I'm not sure we even hear it anymore because we know how it ends, and so we think about that. But today what I think about is that Jesus had just fed the 5,000. It was evening. They had all eaten supper. Jesus said, "You disciples, get in the boat. Get ready to go to the other side." And then Jesus went by himself up to the mountain to pray. And I think about the times that Jesus went off by himself to pray, to talk with his Father. And he didn't just pray for 5 minutes. He prayed for hours. Because the next thing you know, he says it's early morning when he goes to meet the disciples. At the same time, the disciples are on the boat, but a strong wind has pushed them way further than what they expected. They're still wide awake because it's stormy and the waves are crashing around them and they are fearful. And then all of a sudden they see this ghost walking towards them. And I think about it, what we need to realize is although they were fishermen, they didn't swim. You never swam in the lake. That wasn't what you did because the lake was a fearful, dangerous place. They also knew that storms could come up with very little notice and the waves could capsize boats. And I think about a couple of weekends ago when we had the thunderstorm come up with absolutely no notice and the number of rescues that had to take place on our lake here. But they also, the Psalms talk about those great sea monsters. And yes, there were not sea monsters, but what they would call the giant fish that could also overturn a boat or cause chaos. And so for them to be fearful was not at all unexpected. But at the same time, we remember the stories of God creating out of chaos over the water, of God making the waters go away and making the promise to Noah, of God parting the Red Sea and bringing the people of Israel to freedom. And what they knew is that God had the power to still the waves, but they didn't yet know that Jesus also had that power. And so here are the waves crashing. They have no idea where Jesus is. And this ghost starts coming at them across the water. And Jesus says to them, "Fear not, it is I." And Peter, impetuous teenage Peter, shouts out, "If it's you, call me out so that I can walk on the waves too." And Jesus simply says, "Come." And so there's Peter. He hops out of the boat. He takes 2 steps and all of a sudden pays attention to the waves, the wind, the fact that he's walking on water and starts to sink. And he shouts out, "Jesus, save me." And instantly Jesus is there, reaches out his hand, pulls Peter, and they're on the boat and the storm stills. And they say, "Surely he is the Son of God." They realize at that moment who this is and that he too has the power to still the storm. And that's the point that we often focus on, is that Jesus has the power to still the storm, or that Peter tried to walk on water. But what I really think about today is the power of prayer. That Jesus went off by himself to pray. He went into the wilderness several times to pray. And I think about fear. We often hear that faith is the opposite of fear. And I'm not sure that's exactly true. But what I do know is as we build up our faith, those worries, those doubts can melt away. And true fear, when we call out to Jesus, no longer has the ability to cripple us or blind us or make us do foolish acts. When we call out to Jesus, our fears are lessened by the strength of his presence. We've all been in truly gut-wrenching, fearful situations, but we know when we call out to Jesus and spend that time in prayer that he gives us the strength and courage to carry on in impossible situations. I think about the gospel or the story that we heard last week about Jacob wrestling with the angel. And what I had said is, for him to do that, he had to trust. And for us to wrestle with God, we have to trust. Because if we don't believe that Jesus can make a difference, then why would we bother? At the same time, I said, you can't socially distance wrestle with God. You can't be 6 feet apart and arm wrestle. Jacob wraps his arms around the man and holds tight. And that's what we need to do, is to wrap our arms around Jesus and hold tight. Be willing to go that extra round with him. But also think about the reading today from Romans. And I love, the word is very near you. It is on your lips and in your heart. The word who was made flesh, is very near you. He lives in your heart and on your lips. All you need to do is to call out. So I wonder how much time you spend alone in prayer, in reading scripture, in having conversations with Jesus, in listening for Jesus, listening for that direction, that guidance, that support, that help, that hope. How often do you sit there and say, Lord Jesus, this virus has me concerned, or my concerns about schools opening, or about schools not opening, about those kids who are living in difficult situations and are not getting the support they need, or those parents that need the kids to be in school so that they can work, or the economy, or the racial tension in the world, or the environment. How often do you spend time, extended time, with your arms wrapped around Jesus, expressing these concerns and waiting for a response? So I invite you to think about when you are fearful, when you are worried, where is your focus? Are you focusing on the waves and the wind and the fact that there are sea monsters? Or are you focusing on, Lord, save me? Amen. I invite you into a minute of silence. I invite you now to join me in the Apostles' Creed, found on page 96 in the Book of Common Prayer or in your handout. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Forever and ever. Amen.
Suffrages A is found on page 94 in the Book of Common Prayer or in your handout. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Clothe your ministers with righteousness.
Let your people sing with joy, Lord.
Give peace, O Lord, in all the world.
For only you can live in safety.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let your way be known upon earth.
Your saving help among all nations.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
Nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And sustain us with your Holy Spirit.
Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we who cannot exist without you may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you, that the week to come may be spent in your favor, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh and hasten the coming of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. I invite you to mute as we sing together the anthem, "Tis the Gift."
Praise him above the heavenly.
of the People is Form 6, found on page 392 in the prayer book or in your handout. In peace, we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors.
For those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear,
injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick,
the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel.
All seek the truth.
For our presiding bishop, our bishop, and for Lynn and Gary, and all other bishops and ministers.
For all who serve God and His church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. We pray for Carol, for Betty and Richard, Adrian, Kevin, Janet, Darlene and John, Tammy, Dee and George, Bob, Jackie, Jen, Jim L., Brian, Dan, Ellen, Marietta and Jim, Baby Eliza and family, Paige and Michael, Michael S., Stephen, Alicia, Jennifer and family, Doug, Tammy S., Jerry, Bill, Wendell, James, John, Amy, Lindsay, Holly, Sean, Kurt, Jean F., Muriel, Charlie, Raymond, Renee, Heather, Eva, the food pantry, students and teachers, first responders, those suffering from addiction, those in the military, and those who mourn.
For Carl and Ann and Jerry's family.
Carl and Joe.
Ashlyn.
MJ and her family. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life.
Our beautiful grandbabies.
For this summer weather.
We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom.
For Bob to sign.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Put their trust in you. O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people and the multitude of your mercies. Look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to join me in saying the general thanksgiving found in the Book of Common Prayer on page 101 or on your handout. Almighty God, Father of our mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies
mercies.
That with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be the honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to mute as we sing together the closing hymn, How Firm a Foundation, in the hymnal number 637. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.